So the reason I chose William Peace was because of their stellar game design program. It's very rare to find a game design program in the United States at all, let alone North Carolina. And this place seemed like the right place for me for where I wanted to go and the connections I could make within the program.
Turn your hobby into a career in one of the highest paid professions in the country with William Peace University's Simulation and Game Design program. Master design, 3D modeling, and programming in a state-of-the-art space with the latest and most remarkable technologies available. Find out more at peace.edu.
For football at 4, we're going to play some audio for you. Following Canes practice, Canes, goodness gracious, I'm messing up NHL for NFL. Now I'm messing up Panthers for Canes. I think we just the draft and the NHL playoffs can't be at the same time. Spread it out. But one in July. Anyway, for football at 4, we are going to look at some comments from post Panthers practice. They've had their voluntary team workouts, the voluntary mini camps yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The draft is obviously tomorrow, so that's what a lot of the questions are going to be about. But first, we need to clarify some things. We've been given some answers to some entertaining questions, including what happened in a way that Deontay Johnson could not know who Dave Canales was. Here's Deontay Johnson on his first. By the way, Deontay Johnson was traded from the Steelers to the Panthers to be their number one wide receiver. And here's Deontay Johnson on his first impressions of his new coach, new head coach, Dave Canales.
He's accurate, smart. You know what I'm saying? That's what I've seen from watching his tape and whatnot. Great player.
He's young and Canales.
Can make plays, make any throw on the field. And I'm here to make him better as a player and a quarterback, help him grow.
What were your impressions of Dave Canales when you first met him and then when you first saw him on the field?
Dave, he was cool. To be honest, I didn't know he was the head coach when I went out to dinner with him. But I'm like, because he was just talking, like, just his energy he brings. And then when after the dinner, I'm like, somebody told me he was the head coach. I'm like, oh, I was so surprised. Like, but other than that, like, I love his energy. So, like I said, I'm excited to play for him.
He didn't know Dave Canales was the head coach. Or he didn't know that the person that Dave Canales is at the dinner was the head coach. He may have known that there was a Dave Canales that was the head coach. He just didn't connect it to that guy that he was eating dinner with.
Just didn't have a face to go with the name.
That's hilarious. This guy is making like $14 million this year from the Carolina Panthers.
I mean, he's kind of your boss.
Oh, it is. It's not kind of. It is your boss. Hilarious. Dave Canales today was asked about that dinner with Deontay Johnson when apparently Deontay Johnson didn't know who Canales was.
I did not know, but we were having such a good time. Steak 48, I mean, some fantastic food. You know, he's probably looking at this guy. He's young. I'm asking a lot of questions, talking about, you know, how we're going to use him in the offense. And so he's probably thinking, this is the offensive coordinator. It's like, great. It's awesome, you know. And so I think his agent could have helped him a little bit, you know, maybe send him a snapshot or something like that on his phone. Like, hey, by the way, this is Coach Canales. And so, I did not know that until yesterday when he said it. So pretty funny in hindsight, but that's not the only time that's happened.
That's not the only time it's happened? You've only been coach for a couple months.
Yeah. Well, I think it was when he was talking with like in a room with draft prospects and stuff like that, people didn't realize, like, oh, well, you're the head coach.
You want to know the difference between a wide receiver and a quarterback? When a quarterback switches teams, specifically one to be a starting quarterback, one of the first things they do is ask for, like, a staff directory so they can memorize everybody's name. They're talking team. You're talking strength coach. You're talking equipment guy. You want to walk in like the CEO saying, hey, Billy, what's going on, Fred? Deontay Johnson is a wide receiver. Didn't even bother to learn the head coach's face. Didn't even do that. But it seems like everybody's cool with it. My first reaction was, at least you know he wasn't brown-nosing the head coach at dinner.
That's true.
He wasn't sitting there just
That's a good point.
Giving the proper answers because he thought the head coach was listening. He's lucky he didn't go up to what he thought was the offensive coordinator and go, how crazy is it that the head coach has no experience? Wild, right?
Yeah, really.
oh, I'm sorry. Never mind. It's great. It's awesome. Dave. Yeah, I knew it was you. Ha ha ha.
I just came from like one of the longest tenured coaches in the NFL to this guy.
This will be fun.
Whoops.
The other thing that we need to clear up based on the post practice conversations is Xavier Leggett from South Carolina is going around telling podcasts that the Panthers have told him if he's there with the 33rd pick, they're going to take him. Now, that is rare, A, that a team would say that, and B, that a player wouldn't catch the wink, wink, nod, nod to not run around and tell everybody that, even if they were told that. So Dave Canales, after the practice today, was asked about Leggett and that 33rd pick.
I mean, it was a great conversation, you know. I definitely said that to him and about 50 other guys, you know. Like, man, so we take you at 33. It's actually a lead-in question. So when we draft you at 33, what happens now? And then there's a bunch of questions that happen after that, you know. So, part of the process.
How hilarious is that? They said, so Xavier Leggett, X, can I call you X? Can I call you Zave? We draft you 33rd overall. What happens next? And Leggett just heard, we draft you 33rd overall, texted his agent, I'm in there. They said it to 50 people. That's hilarious. By the way, Leggett could legitimately be the 33rd overall pick. That's maybe he answered it correctly.
It would make a lot of Panthers fans happy.
Would it make you happy, South Carolina to Charlotte?
I'm here for what's best for the team.
Oh, you'll swallow your pride?
I have to.
First drop. I told you this guy. First time he doesnn't make the play.
I feel great about playing football right now.
So do I. The Drive with Tim Donnelly, 99.9 The Fan. Let's get at least one or two of the serious conversations from Dave Canales rather than just clearing up the goofy stuff. Here's Dave Canales on what he learned day two of mini camps, voluntary practices for the Canes.
When you start adding layers, we start seeing guys get challenged with communication, assignments and all those things. It's a great thing. This is when we want to do that. So the message I just gave the guys is, this is great. Let's find new mistakes tomorrow. So my thing is, the things that we see that we do wrong, all right, fix them. Let's find new mistakes. What does that mean? That means we're growing. That means we're challenging ourselves, pushing the envelope on what we can handle and finding the scope of who we're going to be.
First of all, I said Kane's going into the break. I think I know the problem. Canales kind of looks like Canes in my notes. So when I see it, my brain just goes Canes. The C-A-N gets me.
Ah, okay. So there's the excuse.
Yep, 100% an excuse.
Okay,
not fine. A reason at all. That is a pure excuse. Thank you for calling me out.
That's fine.
Dave Canales, the head coach of the Carolina Panthers, was also asked about the process of improving Bryce's, meaning Bryce Young's, game.
Never get bored with the basics. There's a great Kobe Bryant video if you want to YouTube something later. It's fantastic. One of the greatest of all times talking about that. So there's a process. There's a QB school that he's going through. And as we do it, the things he needs to specifically improve on, that kind of like that's the lens that we look at stuff with. So,
first of all, I've never heard anything more on brand with a person than Dave Canales, like alone in his office, maybe has film on one screen and just has Kobe Bryant motivational speeches streaming consistently on the other screen. He's just getting Mamba system injected into his veins while he watches like sixth round offensive tackles. And he's just getting jacked up, just getting excited.
I feel great about playing football right now.
You're darn right. You're darn right. He feels good about playing football right now. You know what? I saw him playing running back at practice. Now, we did see Matt Rhule playing defensive line.
Well,
so,
I was going to say, does that mean drafting a running back? Is that confirmed now? They drafting a running back? Like, I'm taking the spot of the guy we're taking in the sixth.
Pretend I'm Bucky Irving. Is that what you're saying? Pretend my name is...
I'm Will Shipley.
Trey Benson. Oh, Will Shipley. Are you going to be okay with that if it's Will Shipley?
Well, he's from the state of North Carolina.
Yeah,
that's
but
fine.
He left the state of North Carolina for his college football. There are some bitterness around here for that exactly.
Oh, yeah, trust me.
He could
is.
Have hit the portal and gone back to the state of North Carolina for this year, but instead he's going pro. I'm just saying, we don't need to open those wounds right now. Thank you for listening to the Best of the Drive podcast. I'm Tim Donnelly here with Coach Pete DeRuta, America's wealth coach and best-selling author. Coach, one of the big questions I always hear is, do I have enough money to retire?
Well, maybe, maybe not. The most important thing is you have lifetime income you can never outlive. We'll design that plan for the next 10 people who call. No cost or obligation. Put yourself in control of retirement.
Call 800-691-3215. You can also text Tim to 600-700. That's T-I-M to 600-700. You'll hear from Coach Pete and the Capital Financial Advisory Group. The day before the NFL draft is awesome because every single prognosticator covers their tracks in a hurry, right? There for 3 months, Marvin Harrison Jr. is a all-world, all-everything wide receiver. The day before, they're like, you know, Malik Nabers could go first. I'm just saying it's possible. That way, if Malik Nabers happens, you're like, well, I did say it was possible, even though for 3 months I said it was no shot, right? It's Caleb Williams. You know, I'm just saying it's not a 0% chance that number one overall pick could be a defender. It's like a defensive player. We haven't heard any of them for – everybody just kind of covers their tracks very quickly. Here's the problem with the draft and the coverage. You should be skeptical of anyone – with big, aggressive, cold, hard, like there's a direct inbounds, out of bounds opinion, right? The hilarity to me, and we'll use Drake May as an example because he went to UNC and he's going to be a top five pick. The hilarity to me is when you suggest or somebody asks, like, who's going to be number two overall? And they go, Jaden Daniels, because Drake May, he panics against pressure. He da-da-da-da. He can't do this. There's too many turnovers. He regressed his second year as a starter. When there's film out, I'm on blah-blah-blah-blah-blah. Like, oh, great. Who's third? Drake May. It's like, wait a second. A billion reasons why you would not consider him for number two overall, but number three, of course, yes. It's like, ha-ha. How? If somebody makes sense as the third overall pick, they kind of make sense as the second overall pick. At least they're not a horrendous decision. It's not like, you know, if you can pick him at 12 overall, I really like the pick. If you pick him at 11, it's a massive overreach and he's never going to pan out and it's going to be a huge disappointment. It just doesn't make sense. Everything in the draft is in stages. It's in percentages, right? You think that Caleb Williams, 60% of the time, is going to be better than Drake, you take him because of that 60. Not because it's 100%. There are no 100%.
60% of the time, it's going to work every time.
About 65% of the time, works 100% of the time. we're working in some deep cut Will Ferrell movie quotes here today. Maybe not deep cut, but at least Will Ferrell movie quotes. So with that being said, I'm going to do my best to not be too definitive with any of these answers, but Dennis is going to ask the biggest questions in the draft. Dennis, fire away.
All right, you mentioned quarterbacks.
I did.
How many quarterbacks go in the first round?
Five.
Five, okay.
Hard and fast, no doubt, no changes. No, just do everything I just said you shouldn't do. Mm-hmm. I think the big four, as they're being called, it used to be the big three, but J.J. McCarthy worked his way into it. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy. I think they're solidified top 15, okay? And then I think one of either Bo Nix or Michael Penix gets the, we want to have one more year of control, so we're going to trade into the bottom part of the first round to draft our quarterback. It happened with Lamar Jackson. It happens with guys every once in a while. Mm-hmm. And then I think there's probably a second rounder, either Nix or Penix, whichever one doesn't, somewhere in that second round. And then beyond that, the Spencer Rattlers, the Michael Pratts, the others are, I mean, you only need one to fall in love with you anywhere from the third to the fifth.
See, if only five go and it leaves a six, like you said, maybe Bo Nix or Michael Penix, that's where Dan Morgan can get really active at pick 33. That's the reason why I brought up that question, because if all six go in the first round, there's probably a lot less activity for that 33rd overall pick.
Except if six quarterbacks go in the first round, let me do some math. What does that mean? The 26th best, 27th best Do on-air math. 26th best position player is available at 33.
Something like that, 26 or 27.
If there's six good wide receivers that you really have a first-round grade on, 5, 6, and you have six quarterbacks taken in the first round of those other however many picks, are there really going to be six wide receivers taken? I want all of the quarterbacks drafted in the first round. Mm-hmm. Because I know the Panthers don't need a quarterback, and with every quarterback taken, that's a better player at a position of need pushed down to 33. And thus, maybe more attractive trade bait for a team that already has a quarterback, right? If the best player available is a quarterback, that does limit your buyers. They're more desperate, but it does limit your buyers.
Desperation, though, can do a lot of different things. All right, speaking of teams getting desperate, which team outside of the top five trades up to draft a quarterback? So what team is, I guess, actually I'll rephrase this. Mm-hmm. Which team trades up in the draft to draft a quarterback outside of the top five picks?
So you're saying like up to six to get McCarthy if he's there?
Or up to 9 or up to 11, 14, something along those lines.
I think the two, I'll do the whole insider. The two most talked about are Denver and Minnesota. Mm-hmm. They have, I think, 11 and 12 right now. Am I saying that wrong?
So I think it sounds right. Yeah, no, Minnesota's 11 and 23. I think Denver is sitting at 12. Either 12 or 14.
So the reason why I think they're both likely to trade up is because they both need a quarterback and they're back-to-back picks. So Minnesota's not going to just sit at 12 and go – or sit at reverse that. Denver's not just going to sit at 12 and go, yeah, we'll just sit here and you'll take the quarterback at 11. So if they can get up to 9, a little leapfrog action, I think that's where it goes. So I would say those are the two most likely – Minnesota is probably most likely to trade into the top five, but since you said not top five, I'll go Denver, just a couple of picks up to leapfrog Minnesota and grab their guy.
Okay. I'm hearing a lot of the Raiders might be interested in moving up because they're in desperate need of a quarterback as well. New head coach and Antonio Pierce, who's the interim head coach at the end of the year last year, and they just – I don't know what the Raiders are doing in terms of what their future plan is.
There's a lot of, I believe, desire – but I don't know if they have the ability. Like, Jaden Daniels and Antonio Pierce were both at Arizona State. Antonio Pierce was the defensive coordinator, I believe, and Jaden Daniels was the quarterback. So they know each other and I assume would love to reunite at the NFL level. The problem is, to get up to Jaden Daniels, you might have to trade all the way up to number two, and then you got to spend a lot. And the Raiders, I don't think they have all of the resources to make a move like that. So, you know, it's we've all been there, right? There's something you've had your eye on. For Dennis, it's probably a pair of shoes. For me, it's probably a watch of some kind.
Maybe.
And you're at the store and you have it like in your hands, right? You've asked to see it. Maybe even if it's a watch, you've asked to put it on your wrist and you're looking at it and you're just going, I want this so much, but I can't, right? I can't afford it. And you have to do the no, here you go, and you have to give it back, and it stinks, and you wish you didn't have to. To me, that is Jaden Daniels with the Raiders. They know they want it, right? They've had it circled on their vision board for years. Like it's their favorite size. It's the, like it's all it just it fits so well, but they can't afford it, so they have to give it back. So I believe their desire to move up is there. I just don't know if their ability to is.
And also, if you're Washington with the second pick, you need a franchise quarterback. Are you really going to give it up?
It would have to be a monumental.
I mean, it would have to be like a ton.
But keep in mind,
take it into consideration.
Keep in mind this. Washington once did it in reverse. Yeah. They gave up a boatload to move up to number two to take RG3 and didn't necessarily work out for them. Like, it might be a situation where they're like, if we can get 3 or 4 firsts, let this new regime settle in, and then you can go all in for a veteran if you wanted to, right? Because you can send away a whole bunch of first round picks. Like there's motivations there, but there's no motivation that'll get them to move off the number two other than we just had our socks knocked off by this offer, and
we can't refuse.
Yeah, a king's ransom.
Gotta make him an offer he can't refuse. More great news for Cary commuters. With the new Go Cary app, you can track your bus live on the interactive map feature. Stay informed with the latest news and service updates right at your fingertips. Save your favorite locations and routes for quick and easy access, making your daily commute a breeze. Plus, with the Go Cary app, you can easily connect to GoCary.org for even more resources and information. Best of all, the Go Cary app is absolutely free to download on the Apple and Google Play stores. Go Cary, where getting there is just a tap away.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, with third question here, well, I'll probably make this a final one. With so much depth at wide receiver in the draft, and a lot of people say that as many as six offensive tackles could go in the first round of this draft.
Could be if you do the math on that. I've heard six offensive tackles in the first round is a possibility, six quarterbacks is a possibility, six wide receivers is a possibility. Might go 18 at three positions.
Yeah, that's literally 3/5 of the draft. Just about math.
I don't think that'll happen, but goodness gracious, if it does.
If it does, sweet. But because with so much wide receiver depth, will teams be trading into the first round to draft offensive tackles and defensive players in the 20s, therefore pushing some of those good wide receivers down to maybe where Carolina is at 33?
This is like ready for this reference here. You know how? Well, I'll put it this way. I don't understand how traffic works, right? It's very frustrating to me when you're on a road with seeming like not an accident. Like, I understand an accident or a parade coming through or something. I understand that. But when you're just like on a highway and there's traffic, you slow down, maybe even come to a stop, and then all of a sudden you're just going again.
Yeah.
And like you're looking around going, what caused that?
People on I-40 are thinking that exact same thing right now. what is happening?
And it's just like, well, you know, one guy slowed down a little, the next guy slowed down, the next lady slowed down, I don't completely understand it.
Mm-hmm.
There's two ways drafts go when there's a deep position, right? If you have 12 really good wide receivers, either there's a run on wide receivers and everybody starts panicking, and if everybody's getting a good wide receiver, I don't want to be one left out. So it's just like bing, 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 and they all go early. Or the opposite happens, and everyone is thinking, why would I take one early? I can get one next round that's just as good. It's like traffic. I don't know what makes it go in one direction or the other. It's like probably some human, like we need an anthropology class to tell us. But it's very possible that – I forget what the question was. But it's very possible that wide receivers could tumble because of the depth rather than what we're all thinking is going to happen, which is all these guys with high grades are going to go high.
Yeah, I think because there's so much depth, it probably puts more of a premium on those other positions. It's like, okay, yeah, we can wait. Like, okay, we're going to get the 10th wide receiver on our board. Perfect. That's fine. He'll be our number two receiver this coming season. But we need that offensive tackle. I think we're going to see a flurry of trades between 15 and 28.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And it's going to be fun.
It is... ready for this? Because I'm a fantasy football nerd.
Of course you are.
They say to draft the bottom of tiers, right? So, if you have a 10 tier at 10 people in your highest tier of running backs, the best way you could draft is to draft number 10, right? So if you have a tier of two edge rushers that you think have first round grades and 10 wide receivers that you think have first round grades, if either of those edge rushers are there, you're like, we should take that one because there's a better chance it's going to come back. That's the logic there. So it all really depends on what the board says for each individual team.
Yeah.
Chris Sims and Todd McShay just came out today and said they've talked to people that have neighbors over Marvin Harrison Jr. I don't think that's necessarily a right or a wrong take. I think it's unusual based on what we've heard for the last 3 months. But what that just shows is no one's board is identical. Right, it's not like everybody settles down for their draft room and goes, all right, ESPN top 100 prospects, and everybody drafts off the same board like we do in all our fantasy leagues where we're just off of best available that they give us in our little draft app.
Auto draft.
It's they don't operate that way. So, just recently, a media member asked the GM, and I'm forgetting his name, the GM for the Cardinals, how many first-round grades do you have on your board? And the GM talked for, I don't know, 45 seconds and said absolutely nothing. He said, well, you know, we have players, and then we have other players, and there is a board, and then we judge them on many different things, and it's up and it's down, and And then the coach of the Cardinals just leaned in and went, 0% chance you were getting the answer to that question.
Hey, and you still asked.
And it's like, that's why the board is so unique to each individual team. So where those tiers are probably decide whether there's a run or if there's not. And quite frankly, we'll never see the board. That's why we need like assistant coaches to be less social media savvy. Mm-hmm. So they post a picture that just says like, getting ready for the draft without noticing the board is in the background, and then we can all jump on it, right? Like, so excited for my second draft with the Broncos, and then it's like, you know, has all their quarterbacks listed on the board behind them. That's what we need more of. All the trolls on the internet. I've got the screenshot. They can delete it. Never leaves.
Your heart. It's the only one you have. Fortunately, you also have a choice. Expert cardiologists. Talented surgeons. Highly skilled specialists, all of whom chose WakeMed. Why? The main reason is the same reason patients choose WakeMed. Everything you need for the best possible care is right here. Learn more at WakeMed.org. WakeMed Heart and Vascular Physicians. Your heart, your choice.